Hey, everybody, welcome to Mat Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarin. We're back with another awesome interview. This is part of our interview series that we've been doing over the last couple months here, and we're joined with a great guest. But before we bring him in, I want to introduce my co-host, as always, Rich Stambolian. What's going on, Rich?
What's up, man? What's up, everybody? How you doing? How you doing, Andrew?
I'm freezing.
Yeah, it's a little windy today.
Very windy, very cold here in the Northeast, but I'm very, very excited to have our guest on it. And, you know, sometimes things just fall into place. I saw a tweet, I retweeted it, and all of a sudden, here we go, Charlie Haas on the show. What's going on, Charlie?
Hey, how are you guys doing, man? I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, and yeah, thanks for reaching out. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. You know, one of my favorites of all time, you and Shelton, top 10 in the tag team rankings for many, many people. But before we go into it, how are you feeling? Because you took a bad bump a couple of weeks ago.
No, I'm feeling fine. I want to thank Impact. They're very professional. First Josh Alexander for being a great pro in the ring. And man, I'm just happy that I was able to finish that match. And he's the ultimate pro, and he is the pinnacle. And and Impact itself, the personnel from Scott D'Amore to Tommy Dreamer to D'Lo Brown, Gail Kim, all the way down, just the utmost respect. And no, I'm feeling great. I'm feeling fine. And man, I'm back on track. So thanks for asking.
Josh is a friend of the show. He's done the show in the past. I mean, there's so much I want to talk to you about. Obviously, your journey back into professional wrestling, because for a lot of people, you came out of nowhere back into wrestling. You took off for a while. What was that process like as far as, you know, deciding that you want to get back into the ring and the actual process of prepping again?
It's no secret. Went through the divorce with Jackie, and that was really tough. And I need a time away, just not for myself, but for my kids and my family. Healing from that. We get along great. We co-parent very well. We got four beautiful kids. I can't thank her enough for being a great mom. And I wanted to get back into wrestling. I was pretty much done, and I got inducted into Texas Home Pro Hall of Fame. And when I was there was James Beard there, and he's like, hey, you know, you look in great shape. Why don't you come back out and try it? And I'm like, man, I'm pretty much done. But my kids are there, and they never really saw me, or they actually never saw me wrestle on TV before. The boys never did, at least. And they're 11 and 9 now. So they're like, come on, Dad, come on. So I'm like, all right, let me try this. So we did for a while. And, I was at the time, I was still trying to get back, like lifting, getting my size back on. I was just coaching amateur, and I was just I was wrestling in the amateur room the whole time with high school, college students. So, I mean, my workout was really just trying to get as lean as possible, but as flexible to where I can wrestle again amateur instead of wrestling pro. When I started doing the pro, man, I had to put all this weight and start lifting and get, you know, and start changing my workouts and eating more. I tell you what, I mean, there's so many good athletes today, these kids, these young adults, these men that are wrestling. It's a great time to be a wrestler. I think I really was really happy about it when the internet TV took off, and you're seeing all these different, it's almost like watching the old territories back in the day. You're seeing like MLW or AAA or Ring of Honor. I go to Pluto, I type in Fight TV, and you get all these amateur, PCW Ultra, you get all these different promotions, and everyone's been able to showcase their talent. So it's really, I was watching everybody. I'm trying to catch up. My boys are educating me on everybody. AEW, is the new thing. And it's just, so James Beard and talked me into coming out to SWE, and that's took off for a while. And then, I realized, well, I'm a really good heel, and something I need to, and the kids are having fun. So I'm like, well, let's just do it, man. Let's get back into it. So
you got the itch back, basically.
Yeah, I did.
This new landscape of wrestling. Yeah. Like what did that feel like? Did you
it was, did you like, feel, I mean, like, I tell you.
Yeah, go ahead, Charlie.
No, I felt like, I mean, I felt like a kid again. I mean, I'm like watching, like I said, it's not only time, a great time to be a pro wrestler, but it's a great time to be a fan. I mean, I think for so long they, you know, you saw WWE and they were like the AT&T or of, you know, of cell phones, but for wrestling, they monopolized everything. They bought everything. They own everything. And I think finally, you know, unfortunate the pandemic hit, but it also taught people to cut the cords and, you know, and to save money. And so this internet TV blew up, I think, around the same time, you know, and you get Pluto and Plex and everyone's looking for content. And man, all these different, like I said, you got MLW, you got, I mean, there's so many different promotions with these excellent wrestlers. Now they can showcase their talent. I tell a lot of the wrestlers that are up and coming, you know, because my deal is I want to pay it forward. And I could teach them better. I mean, if they want to learn as a heel, and that's the way it used to be back in the day. You know, the heels would always lead, and you know they didn't have wrestling schools. You know, you would learn your first wrestling lesson would be your first match in the ring. You know, and you would just they'd just say, "Don't say a word, just listen and be quiet." You know, and that would go on for about a year. You know, and you would bounce from territory to territory for about 10 years till you got called up to, like, you know, Worldwide Wrestling Federation, or, you know, or the NWA or AWA or World Class Championship Wrestling. So I tell everybody, I go, you know, go to these different promotions. You know, each promotion is different, each style is different. Learn to master your craft. And hopefully, you know, when you're ready, you know, AEW will pick you up, or, you know, or WWE, you know, and that's where the money is. So, but, you know, people can still make a living wrestling with these other promotions, you know, and especially with social media. I mean, you self-market yourself. I mean, look at Matt Cardona. He's the pinnacle when it comes to self-marketing, you know, social media and all that.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. And something that a lot of people may not know is that you started off heavy in independent wrestling, Jersey Yes. Pro Wrestling, you and your brother tag teams over there. You started off we saw you on WWE TV, you know, early to mid 2000s, but you were wrestling from 96 on.
Yeah. So right after we graduated, Russ and I started with Jersey All Pro and CZW. We actually held the tag titles for CZW and Jersey All Pro at the same time. And that's when ECW was just breaking out, and they were just exploding. You know, we'd come home from the bars at 1 o'clock in the morning and you'd watch ECW, you know, up in the Northeast, you know, from Seton Hall. I'm a Seton Hall guy, so I'm up there in the Northeast, and ECW is going nuts. You know, people are loving it. It's going on at the bars. People are going crazy. You know, so, you know, we got into the pro wrestling. Jersey, I was trained by Iron Mike Sharp. Russ and I were trained by Iron Mike Sharp, Canada's greatest athlete. You know, he was a WWF guy. So we had credibility there. And then we were trying to get an ECW, and, you know, and the Monday Night Wars are going on. We spent about a good 4.5-5 years on the indies until WWF picked us up. It was WWF at the time, not WWE. And you know, but we would wrestle for CZW and JAP. And a lot of the guys that were starting out there were, you know, the ones that started Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor didn't start yet. So, Jersey All Pro and CZW were the prelude to going into Ring of Honor for a lot of the guys.
You know, you brought up training, right? And I think this is interesting because you train amateur wrestlers and you work with a lot of younger talent in professional wrestling. You know, you went through early WWE developmental, right? Memphis, you were in Memphis for a while. How do you Heartland Wrestling.
Yeah, ODW, HWA. Yeah.
How do you think that's changed? And you know, developmental now is a very different beast. It is really refined. It's more like any other professional sports training facilities. The big difference for you, like, what was WWE developmental like when you went into it compared to today, obviously?
So we signed with WWF. We spent 5.5 years on the I got to give credit to Jim Kettner for ECWA. He polished us up before, when we found out WWF was looking at us, and Kevin Kelly was working with them, and Kevin Kelly really helped us out, and Jim Kettner, and they got us to, you know, they our footwork, the tagging, the polishing up. You know, they taught us the psychology. We knew all the moves. We were able to come together as a tag team on the indies with Jim Kettner polishing up. So we got sent, you know, our second developmental or our second tryout, we got signed right away to the WWF developmental. We got sent to Memphis, and you know, what was great about that, and I have to say, is that we were able to work live TV there, and it was the Power Pros wrestling show that was live, that which Jerry Lawler ran. And it was, you know, and it was the same time that he ran all those years for USWA. And we were, so whatever you said or whatever you did, it was live there. You know, you had to, that's where we learned about TV. That's where we learned about, okay, you have so much minute, you know, your TV time. There was no edit. It was, you know, what you said is what you heard. You know, if you messed up, man, it went live. And then, so what we would do is they would base our TV there, and then all our spot shows or house shows, they would call it, were all based as far, it was syndicated TV. So as far as the antenna would go, that's where we would do our TV show. And then that night we had a spot show, because it would go off like at 10 in the morning, 10 to 11. And then we were out doing a house show that night, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, and then you're back Thursday, Friday, you get, you know, just like your weekend. And then you're back doing the spot show again on Saturday. So we had a lot of, it was a lot of fun. You know, that right there. And you're working with a lot of people that were pros for a long time, that never, you know, that were really big and, you know, popular in the USWA territory. So it was that, you know, but never made it to WWF. So we were working under, you know, like superstar Bill Dundee, or, you know, Jamie Dundee. Quite a few, you know, Brian Christopher, and there was a lot of other people that were down the USWA. So they helped us, and they helped, you know, they would teach us, and we'd go out and do the spot shows, and we were in there. We had some great talent, that tag team actually in Memphis. We had Joey Matthews, Christian York, a great indie team, which was Mercury later on, Joey Mercury. And then you had the Island Boys. You had our first match on Power Pro was American Dragon, Brian Danielson versus and Spanky versus Russ and Charlie. You know, then you had who else? Oh, the Dups. The Dups were there. You know, they were in the, and so did you. You also had the Mean Street Posse. So we went from there to once they shut that down, we went to HWA, Heartland Wrestling Association, or Les Thatcher. There was kind of hectic and crazy because of all of a sudden, ECW and WCW got bought. So all of a sudden, people that weren't put immediately on TV were sent to either OVW or HWA. So here we are getting ready, you know, to be called up, because, you know, Russ and I were – they were going to start Team Angle with Russ, Charlie, and Kurt and I – or I'm sorry, Russ, Shelton, Kurt, and I. And,
oh, so it was supposed to be three of you in us, there. Okay.
It was four of us.
With Angle, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And so there was a show in Memphis where Kurt showed up, and we defeated Benoit, Joey Matthews, and Christian York. And he raised our hands. He had the gold medal on, and that was the announcement of Team Angle right there. And so he was like, hey, we're going to do Team Angle. It's going to be us four. And, you know, and Shelton's going to be the fourth person. And so it was for us four. And, you know, they had plans for Brock to do what they were going to do with him. So then they shut Memphis down, we get sent to Cincinnati, and then all of a sudden everyone gets bought. So they kind of put the Team Angle on hold for a second, because they were, you know, all of a sudden, you know, we're getting, you get people showing up from, you know, ECW and WCW down in, HWA. Jim Cornette had his pick on who he was going to go, because OVW is more, they had more experience as the developmental territory, and HWA was really new. So he was, you know, he at the time he had Batista, Orton, Cena, you know, the Minnesota Stretching Crew, Brock and Shelton, Doug Basham, Damage, it was Danny Basham. You know, the list goes on. Rob Conway. So HWA was newer, so we had more of the WCW, ECW. So all of a sudden, like, all the WWF developmental talent got pushed to the back, you know, and they were going through talent, seeing who they're going to keep and who they're going to get rid of. And, you know, so we were making the cuts, and then, you know, Russ unfortunately passes away. And it just, so it really, you know, I've got to thank WWF, because it could have got rid of me, you know, because, you know, Team Angle worked out great for us three. It was going to be us four, but, you know, they could have scrapped the whole thing after Russ's death, and they didn't. So I'm grateful for that. But, you know, and then once they shut that down, I moved on to OVW. Once they shut HWA down, went on to OVW, and then they decided to go back with Team Angle, and that's when they put Shelton and I together. But to answer your question, I know it's long-winded, but my answer was. But, yeah, the way developmental is now, I mean, it's incredible. I think the people with NXT, by the time they get called up to the roster, I mean, NXT is like – It's another organization by itself. You know, I know it's under WWF's umbrella, but it is still, you know, fans love it. It has its own niche. It has its own cult following. And when those wrestlers get called up to WWF's roster, I mean, they're already over. They know it's working. I mean, the crowd is with them, and that's what I like about it. You know, it's different from when with us, they didn't know who we were at all. So, you know, we're doing dark matches, you know, but, you know, when they bring you on TV, they don't know anything about you. At least NXT gives them a chance to showcase, and the internet and the fans are so smart. You know, they do their due diligence and they research everybody and they know who it is, who's coming up and what their finishing move is and who's with who and who, you know, what faction's which. And, so I don't know. It's fun to be a fan and a wrestler at this time.
Charlie, you clearly have an encyclopedia-like knowledge of not only your own circumstances, but the circumstances surrounding your breaking into the business. Now, I got to ask, did you grow up a fan, or did that later on?
Definitely. Yeah. No. I was a fan. I was a mark. So I grew up. My first match I saw on TV was Jimmy Fly Super Snuka turning down Captain Lou Albano and going to the ring, and he was getting ready to wrestle for the junior world title against Ray Crippler Stevens, and they jumped Jimmy and they just beat him with his beads and all that he always would put around his forehead, and then they pile drove him twice on the cement, and I was hooked after that. So I was hooked. So I did. I grew up a fan, and then cable was just it was in the Pro Wrestling stage. I mean, it was just coming out, and all of a sudden, man, here comes world-class championship wrestling, you know, and I'm watching WCW, NWA. And then in the morning, you know, Georgia Championship Wrestling, the Carolinas, and then, you know, you would get Mid-South Wrestling. You know, I'd get that on Saturday as well. And then at midnight, it was world-class championship wrestling from the Sportatorium. So I was able to watch like four or five different territories where I was living. So I was hooked, man. I was hooked.
I always find that interesting, you know, what catches your eye. Obviously, you became a wrestling fan, and then you went into amateur wrestling. How did you get into amateur wrestling? Because you had a tremendous career as an amateur wrestler. You went to Seton Hall, your brother as well, obviously. How did you get into that? Because I have a bunch of buddies right now. My son is 4, so he's getting ready to go into all these sports and stuff. But, I mean, amateur wrestling is one of the best things you could put your kids in, because it teaches you so much. And it actually works out almost every muscle in your body. How did you go into this?
Well, so the first thing about amateur wrestling, this is the way this is what it teaches you. It puts you in uncomfortable positions, and you have to learn how to get out of those uncomfortable positions. Once you learn that, you can apply that to life, and you can apply that to, like, you know, death, taxes, divorce, whatever, you know. So it teaches you, you're the one that has to get out of it. You're the one that has to get out of those. You know, when you start wrestling is when you're put in that uncomfortable position, you know. So it's a great sport. I call it the Marines of all college athletics, really. You know, what sport is crazy enough to where you cut weight to lose weight, you put your body through these crazy workouts just to lose weight so you can win a championship. You know, most people are lifting and trying to bulk up to win, you know, titles, you know, and here you are, you're depleting your body of all its nutrients and protein just so you can win a national title, you know, or all American. But no, I got into amateur wrestling, to answer your question, because I was hooked on pro wrestling, and we moved to Oklahoma, and I saw that there was wrestling. We moved there when I was going into seventh grade. I saw junior high sports, you know, so I was looking through the athletic, but he said wrestling. So I was like, oh, this is great, man. It's going to be pro wrestling. I had no idea about amateur wrestling. I go in to sign up, and there's mats. And I'm like, where's the ring? Like, it's not like that. So that's how I got into it. And I'll tell you what, the first 2 years was hell. I even quit my eighth grade year, but then I went out for basketball. And since I can't jump or shoot, I had to go back to wrestling. I got cut right off the bat from there. So, So, I mean, it's a sport where you get, man, the best way you can learn is just get take a lot of butt kickings. That's what I did. So.
So now you get into professional wrestling, right? After your amateur stuff, you and your brother get into it. You go to WWE. You're on the main roster. What is that like as far as your life changing moment? Right now you're a star on TV.
Yeah, it was surreal. It was crazy. Like, you know, it was a dream for me and my brother. My brother, we were never to be the Haas brothers on TV. We were never able to showcase what we could do because we were a hell of a tag team. The stuff we were doing, we spent 5 years on the indies, so we were doing a lot of stuff, you know, where Russ was a hell of a gymnast and wrestler, and I was more of the better ground and pound, you know. So so he would take to the air and I would take to the ground. And I mean, he was as big as I was, 6'2", 230 at the time. And, so we were just, we were a hell of a tag team. But when, you know, he passed away, I thank God for Shelton. I thank God, you know, Russ was his guardian angel, my guardian angel, and sent Shelton to me because, you know, he could have just like, no, I don't want to do it. But he had the same work ethic as I did. He wanted to be successful. You know, I was going over through the timeline the other day with a friend and my buddy Kurt Zamora. We were going through the timeline. We're like, man, you know, Arn really worked with you guys for about a good year, before you guys made that debut, and which was great because here I'm sitting there going, this is one of the guys I looked up to, my mentor. I loved the Four Horsemen. I loved Arn and Tully. I loved Arn and Ole. And I'm sitting there going, man, this is going to be unbelievable. And he trained and worked with us. And he was like, will you guys let me put my stamp approval on you? We're like, definitely, you know. So I can't thank Arn Anderson or Jerry Briscoe enough for, you know, here you have the Briscoe brothers and the Four Horsemen, you know, two of the greatest working with us. And they really, man, they made us the tag team we were. So it was surreal that we're on TV, but it was even more surreal that not only do we get to TV, but they threw us right into the fire. I mean, we're in there, we're main eventing against, you know, Benoit, Guerrero's, Brock, we're wrestling at Madison Square Garden, you know, we're wrestling Hogan, we're wrestling, I mean, you name it, it was just crazy. Big Show. I mean, it was just, it was surreal, but, you know, it was either sink or swim. So we were determined to swim.
What do you think it was about that generation that came up? I mean, obviously 2002, I mean, even now, these guys are still top guys that came up in that OVW 2001 to 2002, that class of wrestlers that came up together. You brought up Danielson on the WWE side. You got Cena. You got, everybody Orton. Talks about the Orton, that graduating class of OVW. Why do you think between 2000 and 2002 we got to see such, I mean, tremendous, not only in-ring ability, but star power also? What was it about that generation of wrestlers that came up?
I think a lot of it, you have to go through that OVW. I think you have to thank Jim Cornette, really. I mean, people, dude, he's a master, man. And you have to thank Danny Davis. I mean, Danny Davis, you know, a lot of those guys did not know anything about pro wrestling until they got to OVW. A lot of people did know about wrestling, and then they got there and they had to learn all the break the bad habits, learn all, you know, the good habits. You know, you got to really thank, you know, people like, you know, like I said, Danny Davis, Jim Cornette, Rip Rogers. I mean, people don't give him enough credit. I mean, he was down there and he taught me how to punch. He taught me, you know, I mean, how to make it look real, how to work smarter, not harder, you know. You know, it's just, I don't know. It was such a, you had Batista, you had Cena, you had Orton, Shelton, Brock, myself, Doug Basham, Nick Densmore, Rob Conway, you know, I mean, Lance Kay came up through there, the Island Boys. I mean, it's just
memorable talent, right?
Yeah.
Memorable. Everybody that you listed.
And it was just, I don't know if it was just so much that we grew up, you know, maybe you can say we all grew up because we all, when we got there, we all talked about the territories that we watched. We all watched World Class. We all watched, the Carolinas. We watched Georgia Championship Wrestling. We watched Mid-South. Here we are. We watched all these different, you know, these different territories at the time. And everyone did. So we all, I guess, you know, we're all fans to begin with. So we were just happy to be there. So you're right. The talent is exceptional. They're still going strong. look at like Edge and Christian and you know, Lance Storm and Chris Jericho and Rhino. Now that whole territory from up in that, you know, from anywhere from Detroit all the way up to Canada, you know, we never got a chance to watch Calgary Stampede, but that's what they grew up on, and they're still going strong off that. You know, those guys are exceptional. You know, Edge is unbelievable, Christian, you know, Jericho, so and Rhino's still going at it. Scott D'Amore is one of the you know, he runs Impact. You know, he's one of their top talents at that time. So I think it's because we all grew up as fans, and we're able to watch different territories, and you know, and as a fan, you know, you have this Rolodex in the back of your brain, and you're picking up moves and talents and what you thought, and then different people's, you know, their beatitudes, or, you know, and what they could do in the ring. You know, I think Randy Orton, we all were there when it clicked for him. You know, he grew up watching his grandfather and dad, and it was just, you know, I think he's the best in the ring as of today when it comes to everything.
So rising through the ranks of WWE, when you're getting there, you're having this camaraderie with everybody. It sounds like all you guys are on the same page. Did you want to always be a tag team guy? Did you want to be known as a tag team wrestler? And if so, what does it for you about tag team wrestling?
Yeah, I did. I did want to always, because me and my brother, you know, we always wanted to. We were big fans of the Steiner brothers, you know, amateurs. And it's like, man, we thought we could do, you know, we watched a lot of their stuff from Japan and WCW. We were trying to do a lot of stuff that they were doing. And then, but man, here's what I loved about tag team wrestling is like, so I'm coming up on the indies, and ECW has, I mean, look at the tag teams they had. They had the Dudleys. They had the Gangsters. They had the, they had the Public Enemy. Then they had Cronus and
the Eliminators.
Cronus and Saturn, the Eliminators. I mean, and then you had the FBI. I mean, so those tag teams were unbelievable. The tag team titles meant something, you know. Then you go over to WWE. You have the Road. You have New Age Outlaws. You got the Hardy Boys. You got Edge and Christian. You got, you know. Then the Dudleys came over. But I mean, the tag team titles meant something there, you know. Then you go down over to WCW. I mean, you know, and you're growing up, you're watching the Midnight Express, Rock and Roll Express, the Four Horsemen. You know, you got who else? The Fantastics. The other guys? Not the All Night. I'm trying to think. You have Steve Kern and Stan Lane, the Fabulous Ones. You know, you grew up in the Von Erichs. You know, in the Freebirds. You grew up. I mean, I grew up watching all these tag teams, and dude, a lot of tag teams were main eventing the pay per views at the time when they started pay per views. I mean, the first WrestleMania was headlined by a tag team. You know. It was Hogan and Mr. T versus Piper and wonderful. So it was just, I mean, it was, you know, tag team wrestling was something I loved. I loved that they, I grew up watching, you know, the blind tags, the refs, you know, not burying the refs where they're, you know, the refs, you know, they were rust, the heels were heels, and they did their job, you know, and they made the baby faces, and they made sure the fans didn't get what they wanted. And, you know, it was a great time. I thought tag team wrestling is a lost art today. It really is. But I always wanted to be a tag team guy.
I agree with you. What do you kind of hit something on the head here. You said, you know, tag team wrestling is in loss. Or what do you think is missing from the current wrestling? Obviously, there's a lot of great stuff happening, but what do you think is the key thing that's missing?
The heels aren't heels. And what I mean by that is that, okay, so let me ask you guys a question. Who would you say is the greatest tag team you guys have seen? Who's your greatest tag team?
Rich, you want to go first?
I'll tell you my favorite tag team. My favorite tag team of all time is the Dudley Boys. I just think because they could do everything. They came from – they're New York guys. I'm a New York guy. So there was that kind of thing intrinsic in there. And they just looked so badass, you know?
Right. Okay.
I mean, for me, it was the Road Warriors. That was my favorite tag team of all time. As a kid, you know?
Yeah, for me, it was Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard.
Fantastic. Yeah, top five of all time.
Right. Can you guys name one double tag team move they ever did?
Oh, did they? Did they do a double tag team move? No.
No, because they worked the crowd. They worked the body parts. They worked the psychology. And they are that is what's missing. The heels today, all they want to do is out-wrestle the babyface. They want to have better double team moves than the babyfaces. They want to look prettier. They want – dude, It's not, man. It's about not giving the fans what they want. You capitalize on your opponent's weakness. And I mean, Arne, it's an old Anderson cliche. I always say this. I go, well, you know, you find that weakness. You render it, or you hinder that limb useless. You beat them with it. You make them submit. And then he goes, would you go into Walmart and buy a three-legged table? Hell no. You know, so I mean, and that's what's missing. And that's what's missing in tag team wrestling. The heels don't know how to cut off the ring. They don't know how to. I see a match where the ref gets buried all the time. They don't. You know, it takes five people to work a tag match. You got to have a hell of a babyface team that also has to learn that. Hey, look, it's not about me getting my shit in. It's not about me saying, hey, I got to get all this in. You guys are making me look weak. I'm looking like a wimp here, man. I got to get stuff in. No, man, sell. All you got to do is just sell, and we will pop like popcorn. When the time's right, the hot tag, they're going to blow a baby, and we're going to pop like popcorn. You know, that
do you think the cool heel kind of hurt the fact that people don't want to boo heels anymore? They're looking for, like, Roman Reigns, great example, right? He's a heel, but he's a cool heel. People love to cheer and want to see him be a heel. Do you think that the whole concept of a cool heel kind of hurt how a traditional heel operates?
Well, I think it does. But, you know, I also think, like, I've been working with Kevin Sullivan a lot lately. And, like, you know, I'm having a good heel run down here with SWE. And it's like, and the crowd's starting to change. And they're starting to, and he's like, hey, they're starting to change for you. So you got to be able to, you know, I think you got to surround yourself. Here's the deal. Here's my deal. You got pro wrestling, you got sports entertainment. Sports entertainment, I think, is. It's great. I think that is produced by a lot of people that are like that really weren't fans, that have more of a sci-fi intellect, that you know, that have done a lot of stuff in Hollywood, and they get brought on to WWE to write storylines. That's sports entertainment. I think professional wrestling is what you see of Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, or, you know, Kevin Sullivan behind the scenes that have been there, that know how to draw money, that know what does it take to make a heel and face. I think that's pro wrestling. I think that's the ones, you know, that are educating, you know, that's the difference that what I think is sports entertainment and pro wrestling. I think that, that, you know, when you feel the fans changing, you got to turn, you always got to be at one step ahead of them. What can you do that's different, that's going to make you, you know, that's going to make people go, you know, like gasp and go like, oh my God, I can't believe you just did that. You know, yeah, you're always going to have that, you know, 18 to 35 year old, the guys drinking and that want to have the catchphrases and sing, you know, and sing along with it. But, you know, you like you said, the heels, like Arn always says, like, just don't give them what they want. They want that. Just don't give it to them. You know, but you're right. It's, you know, for so long, you know, they were trying to make, you know, Roman Reigns a face, and the crowd didn't like it. They hated it. As soon as they turn him heel, now they love it. So, you know, so it's man, you know, like I said, the fans are smart. They're really smart. I think you're going to have some fans, you know, that are going to like some wrestlers that don't. You know, they feel that this wrestler's over, then this wrestler isn't. This guy should be on top. Who shouldn't? You know, it's just, I guess we're going to learn as the fans grow, we grow as well. So
it's an ever-changing landscape. And, you know, being a fan and a wrestler like yourself, what was the most surreal moment for you as a professional, whether it's a fan interaction, like you met so-and-so backstage, or what match that you were in, did it click for you where you were like, holy shit, like this is happening right now?
I think when, my first match right away, I mean, they put us in there with Edge and Benoit, you know, Sean and I, like, whoa, you know, and then, you know, they had me, I'm wrestling Edge, and then my first, you know, in the singles, and they had me get a win on them. I'm like, whoa, you know, it's really like, whoa, man. Then you're in there with the Guerreros. I mean, Eddie and Chavo, you know, they're not much older than me, but like, I grew up watching them, you know, when I was in high school, college, and I'm like, and then all of a sudden I'm wrestling them. I mean, I know what happened with the Benoit tragedy and all that, but I mean, he was one of the greatest in the ring. I mean, to be able to hang with him, to be able to learn from him, to be able to learn from Kurt Angle. I think what also when we were in Madison Square Garden, we wrestled, you know, Hulk Hogan and Kurt and Brock, and it was Big Show, Shelton, and I. That was surreal. I'm like, I'm wrestling Hulk Hogan. Like, I grew up watching him, you know. When I wrestled Ric Flair, you know, they grew up. I mean, it's just, you know, and then, you know, just knowing that you have Arn Anderson in your corner as a coach, a trainer, you're just like, oh my God, man. It's like everybody you watched growing up or now is working behind the scenes, working with a Pat Patterson, a Jack Lanza, you know, a Tony Garea, a Jerry Briscoe, you know, and then working for Vince McMahon himself, you know, meeting Vince. And he's like, hey, we're going to put the titles on you guys. We want Team Angle to run with all the titles for SmackDown. You know, I mean, that was, you know, having that meeting with him, that was surreal.
I mean, obviously, you go from, you know, you see Vince on TV, and now you're sitting in an office discussing business with him. Has to be surreal. I mean, your career has been, Rich also, you know, obviously big fans of Team Angle, big fans of your career, you and Shelton. You know, now you're back into professional wrestling. You have a match this Thursday on Impact, which there's a lot of hype for it. You and Josh Alexander. You know, where do you see going 2022 now? You put on some muscle now. You've been working out differently, like you said earlier in the show. What's your plan for this year?
Well, man, my plan is to get back out there. You know, to I mean, I would love, man. Here's I would love to work for Impact. I'd love to work for AEW. I'd love to work, you know, with whatever promotion, MLW, any promotion that would have me work with them, not only as a wrestler, to help teach, you know, the knowledge that was passed down to me from, like, I mean, the people that I mentioned that I was able to work with, you know, from, like, you know, and then the knowledge they passed on to me that I have, that I can pass on. I could work with these people in the ring. I can teach them what I learned, how to slow down, how to tell a story, you know. I would like to keep wrestling, you know, at least for another year or two. And then, but also at the same time, work as a promoter or not a promoter, but to work as a coach or a producer, as WWE calls it, to go into and working with talent relations, like, you know, being in the ring, you know, like Arn does and Fit Finley does before the shows, and working with these individuals and say, hey, okay, you know, this is what I would do, you know, for TV, or this is how I would slow down, or you know, specifically work with tag teams, teach them what's missing. You know, if I can get 4 or 5 tag teams in a promotion, they would bring me in just to be a mentor to the tag teams. I know we could turn it around. I mean, there's so much great talent out there. It's now just getting those heel tag teams to say, hey, look, you don't have to be pretty. You know, it's a street fight, man. It's supposed to look ugly. It's not supposed to look like Cirque du Soleil, you know. I think I have a lot like that to offer. So, I mean, that's my goal. I got two kids, 11 and 9-year-old, that are great amateur wrestlers right now, and they're doing the pro wrestling as well.
I just saw that, by the way. Somebody sent me the video, and I wanted to ask you about that. Your kids are tremendous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's like Kevin Sullivan goes, hey, are these your boys in the ring? And I'm like, I thought it was like, oh, man, what are they doing now? You know, I'm like, yeah. I went out there. I'm like, yeah. I go, what, you want me to get them out of the ring? He's like, no, watch this. And we're watching. He goes, Charlie, did you teach them? I go, look, I teach them the psychology. We'll sit down and watch the moves. I mean, it's like me and my brother. We grew up as fans. And what I would do would practice on my mom and dad's king-size bed. I don't know how many bed frames we ruined. But, I mean, that's the truth. They have the chance to go to a pro wrestling ring and to do this stuff. So, you know, I'm working with other people in the back and they're doing this stuff. And I'm like, man, it's like their timing is ridiculous. They watch, they stalk, they love Randy Orton. So, and I tell them, I go, watch Randy. Randy's the best. The timing when he changes gears, and, you know, Brock Lesnar as well. And I said, so that's what they do. And like, I've put the video out and they've had like 4 matches so far, you know, of course it's against each other. If I can find more kids that pro wrestle, like to, you know, to keep that going, but, you know, but yeah, I mean, they hang out, Rodney Mack teaches them, you know, or if Shelton's around or whoever, you know, Kevin Sullivan, they'll get in the ring and they'll work with them and show them different things. So, I mean, they, for their age, they're really good. So I'm happy. So yeah. So to answer your question, I would like to, you know, become a producer, become a coach, and, you know, because I have them coming up. I mean, look at Dave Finley's kids, you know, Fit Finley's kids. They're unbelievable, you know. And so is Haku's kids. And of course, Rikishi's, you know, Jay and Jonathan. So, we'll see what happens. But I like to be around for them and to finish out a good legacy as a singles and, you know, maybe to help, you know, direct them. And when I think they're ready to, you know, let them go to where they need to be to, that'll help produce them to be the stars they could be.
So I got a kind of like a 2-part question for you, Charlie.
Yeah.
All right. So wrestling Josh Alexander in your head, this is the first part. Are you kind of thinking like, all right, this is almost like I'm wrestling myself, and then apart from Josh Alexander, yeah, go ahead.
it was like wrestling, like, oh man. Yeah. It was kind of like wrestling, you know, like a mirror, but almost like a Kurt, you know? And what I mean by Kurt Angle, not because they both have shaved heads or anything. It's because, he has that engine that just goes. It was really good. And what was great about him is that, you know, he knows he's on top where he is, but he was very accepting for me to give input on what I thought we should do or how we could do this or what would work. And he was down for it, you know. He was just like an ultimate pro. Wrestling him, I was like, he is the top, man. He's the pinnacle, and he is definitely Impact needs to really put that flag on him. You know, they really do.
So besides Josh, who are another couple of talents that you would love to work with? Yeah. Like you said, you want to finish out your legacy as a segment. Oh yeah,
Jacob Fatu, man, a Samoan werewolf. He is okay. Awesome. So he, I don't think people know much about, like, so you have the brothers Rikishi, Umaga, and Tonga Kid, right? There's four brothers, but those three are the ones that wrestle. And Umaga was one of my best friends. He passed on. And, you know, I'm good friends with Rikishi, his brother, his sons, Jonathan J, the Usos. And then, the Tonga Kid, his son is man, Jacob Fatu, you know, and, the Samoan werewolf. And when I first saw him wrestle, I started crying, man, because all the stuff he does is what Umaga did, man. And it's like, and that pop-up Samoan and that ATM, the ass to mouth, what, that running into the corner, I was the guinea pig for all that for Umaga, man, down in, it was right after Russ died and you know, they were down the Island Boys, and man, he's like, we'd go to the ring early. He said, I want to try this, man. So I'm on the one that was like, all right, yeah, tuck your head way up underneath that turnbuckle when his butt hits that, you know, comes running in, or that pop up Samoan. I mean, you hug as tight as you can when he pops you up, man. So when you hit, you hit as one person, so it doesn't hurt. So like when I saw him hitting all this, I was like, man, he's another Umaga, man. I mean, it's like he's not as big, but he's more explosive. And I mean, Eki was explosive, and I'm not saying, but I mean, he just, what he does is just, man, it's, and people don't give the Tonga Kid enough credit, man. And he was probably one of the best ever, and you know, maybe the best out of the three brothers, out of Umaga and Rikishi. You know, and I'm sure Junior would hate me to say it, but I really think he was really that great, and I could see traits of all three of those in the Samoan werewolf. You know, I think Jacob Fatu is great. I think another kid, Moonshine Mantel, he's up and coming. I think he is someone that, you know, they need to look at. They really do. You could look at, you know, over at NWA, you know, that's another, you know, organization that's on TV or internet TV that's really doing great. I think Jack Stane, you know, he could be real explosive, you know, if they put him in the right area. I like to see Chris Masters have another run. What about Hammerstein? You know, he's unbelievable. The guy that's over there, you know, PCW Ultra has a lot of great guys wrestling there as well. And, but I also, I love Malachi Black. I would love to work something with him, man. I just, I think what he does, those people I'm mentioning. Oh, and Jonah, fuck God, man. I mean, you know, their work is not see-through. Work is not see-through, and it looks real. That's what I love working about Josh. It's like, his work's not see-through. It's not, if you can't punch, don't punch. But these guys have it all. Their kicks, their moves, their, you know, the holds, the counters. It looks real. It's not see-through, man. You know, they're snug. But they don't hurt you, but it's snug, so.
It's amazing how much has changed in pro wrestling, but a lot of it hasn't. But the talent is there's such top tier talent now in pro wrestling that you would have never been exposed to, because, you know, internet TV wasn't a thing. Had local independent promotions, but that was it. Like, in order to see some of these guys, you had to see him on, you know, one of the big players, and now everything is accessible. And the fact that you're following this is amazing, right? You're still a fan of pro wrestling.
Yeah. Well, and I got to give props to GCW. They have their own, another cult following.
Oh, they're killing it right now. Yeah.
Yeah, they're killing it. And the thing is, they are, maybe like ECW was for me in the early 90s, you know. Now, would you see me doing those type of matches? No. If they're, if the payoff, it was built up to it, it was done right. Yeah, yeah, probably, most likely. Russ and I did it when we first started with Jersey All Pro. You know, but the GCW, you know, is killing it. They're doing great. You know, Prestige. I just you know, I'm working a six. I did sign a six show deal with them, so I'm looking forward to working with them. And you know, I'm looking forward to working with all this talent that you hear of, that you see of. And like you said, man, with the internet TV, it's almost like watching the old territories. It's like, you know, be able to watch a Mid-South wrestling, able to watch a World-Class Championship wrestling, be able to watch WWF at the time, Georgia Championship Wrestling, well, you know, then 605 to 805, Gordon Soley, you know, I mean, you're able to watch all these different styles. So it's, I just hope Ring of Honor comes back. That's what I'm hoping for. So.
Yeah, me too. I think the more product we have on TV, the better it is for everybody, and more variety to choose from, you know. And I tell people this all the time: if WWE is not your thing, AEW is not your thing, you're looking for more traditional stuff, it exists. You got New Japan, you got so much, you got Impact, you got so many things to pick from.
Yeah, New Japan USA, you know, Tanahashi, you know, they're over here now, you know, doing a lot. You know, I you know, Steve Kern told me, he goes, you know, what you would do back in the 70s and 80s, you would jump from you'd be in a territory for a year, then you move on, or maybe you're there for 2 years, you move on to another territory. I mean, one time, there was like 37 territories, I think, at one time in the United States. And you would work, you know, you would go from territory to territory. I mean, I think Texas at the time had 7 at the most. Wow. And I mean, which is like, you'd go up and you work, you know, you work for the Romeros, which was the Young Bloods. Then you would come to, you know, you'd work for the Tully Blanchards, you know, the Blanchards down in San Antonio. And then you had the Guerreros down in El Paso. And then you had, you know, the Von Erichs up here in Dallas. And then you had Paul Bosch down in Houston, you know. And I mean, that's just, those are the ones that I know of off the top of my head. But then you had territories like, you know, Pensacola, like, you know, Global Championship Wrestling or Continental Championship Wrestling, you know, and then you had USWA, but then you had the PAFOs had their own territory. You go up to St. Louis, you had, you know, you're up there with where Harley Race was. I mean, so you would jump around and you'd be 10 years as a veteran, a pro, learning all these different styles of wrestling from, you know, of course, probably one of the greatest territories that we'd never be able to see the library from if they can ever find it is Portland Championship Wrestling. You know, a lot of greats came from there, like Roddy Piper from Dynamite Kid. You know, Playboy Buddy Rose, probably one of the greatest heels of all times. It was from there. That's where Raven started. Shawn Michaels would go up there. And, you know, so you would bounce around for 10 years, and then you get the call from NWA or WWF or AWA and say, hey, want to bring you in. And, you know, because back then they would put the titles on men that they thought would go into a bar and kick ass. Like that's the way it was. Like, you know, you would have these legit badasses that were your world champions that looked like a grizzled vet that spent 10 years like in the different territories. You know,
it's amazing. It's amazing how everything has changed, but nothing has changed at all. Charlie, listen,
right.
Man,
what's old is new.
What's old is new. I'd love to have you back on anytime.
Yeah.
Anytime. Yes, I'd love to have you back on. This was an absolute pleasure for me. Obviously I could assume for Rich too. I'm going to speak for you.
Yeah.
Rich. This was
good. Yeah, go for it.
I'm sorry if I'm long-winded. I know my answer.
Not at all, man. I love it. No. It was fantastic. Charlie, what do you want to plug? Where can people find you right now?
Yeah, you can. Okay, so I have my own podcast, and what's different about mine? It's I do amateur and professional wrestling. Now that all the amateur wrestlers, you know, a lot of them are getting signed now from NCAA.
Gable,
you know,
and
yeah, Gable Stevenson. You had they signed my one of the guys I helped train in high school. His name is AJ Ferrari, Mr. Fast Switch. On you know, check him out. He's at Oklahoma State. He may be the first 5-time national champion since they gave everybody.
Yeah, he's fantastic. By the way, he just had the tryout, right? He had a tryout and they signed him. Yeah, he's fantastic.
Yeah. He's really good. And you guys have, you know, there's a lot of so I have the Haas Pod. So that's what I do. My Haas Pod is between amateur and pro wrestling. You know, I do pro. I do amateur. The greats. Trying to bring both worlds together to collaborate, you know, to introduce more of these amateur wrestlers to pro wrestling and vice versa. Also, I am I'm at the Haas Pod, Wrestling's Greatest Podcast. I'm also on Twitter at Charlie Haas. I'm also Real Charlie Haas on Instagram, Real Charlie Haas Facebook page, and again, Wrestling's Greatest Podcast Facebook page as well. So.
Awesome. Thanks again, Charlie. Charlie Haas,
no problem,
everybody.
Guys.
We'll be back with a new
Buy my new shirt. Yeah. Buy my new shirt on Pro Wrestling Tees. Buy my new shirt. Charlie Haas is not dead. It's on Pro Wrestling Tees.
There you go. ProWrestlingTees.com. Look up Charlie Haas. Get his t-shirt there. Listen, man, I want to see so much more from you this year. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing all your matches, and I'm looking forward to having you back on the show, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you guys for your time, and like I said, your patience for my long-winded answers. Thank
you. Not long-winded at all. Absolutely. No, it was great. Yeah. Thanks a lot, everybody.